This happened in 1996. I was in my mid-20s. For a quick background and setting, I am a female and I was living with my parents at the time. This was prior to smartphones and I did not have a cell phone of my own. My parents' home was on a residential street in New York State. Blue-collar neighborhood, commuting distance to New York City. We lived down the street from an industrial area. A few old factory buildings that blended in with the houses and ultimately led to the town park and swimming pool, with the town dump beyond that. A strange mix of comforting suburbia and desolation. If you left my front door, went left down the block, and then hung a left at the first corner, you would be at the small gated entrance to the high school football field. The field was completely surrounded by a very tall chain-link fence with a few gated entrances. This small entrance was the only way to get into the field unless there was an event happening. The field was adjacent to the first of the factory building parking lots. I felt very lucky to be so close to the field because it had a track around it. The track ran directly around the field and separated it from the two large sets of bleachers. This was an old stadium, even in the 90s, and while the home bleachers had been updated to metal years before, the visitor bleachers nearest the entrance were still wood. The track was dirt. It was softer on the knees than concrete, so I liked to nip down there in the morning before heading to my train and do a quick 2 or 3 mile run for exercise. I usually had the track to myself in the mornings. Of course, lots of days I didn't make the morning run, so if I got home before sundown, I would head down and run in the evening. The evenings were different, usually more populated. This particular evening, I was really pushing the daylight, but I wanted the exercise. It was summer, so I want to say it was around 7:30 or 8, but getting more toward dusk. There are the usual neighborhood guys playing soccer on the field and three other folks on the track walking or running. A middle-aged man, an older woman, and a woman a little older than me in a pink running suit, or maybe just pink sweats and hoodie. I was feeling annoyed because it had rained and the track was not in great shape, so there were still muddy patches and uneven parts. It was hard to keep your pace when you had to dodge them, along with watching for other people. I was wondering if the other people on the track had been there a while. Maybe they would finish up, so I could have the track to myself? That would be perfect. I was getting into it, listening to my music, and after 3 or 4 laps I looked around to see that the older woman and the middle-aged man were gone. Yes, just the soccer guys and the pink lady now. I was doing my best to keep away from her on the track. The soccer guys started to gather up their stuff and walk off the field toward the gate, at the corner by the old bleachers, dispersing back to their homes. It's just me and her now. I glanced back over my shoulder to see where she was. She was closer to me than I had thought she should be, so I picked up the pace. She can't have much longer. Maybe I'll get my last mile in peace, I think. Then, I see she is gaining on me. She's picking up her pace, and I notice she is looking at me. She's looking at me, expectantly, like she wants something from me. Do I know her? I really don't want to get into a conversation right now. I go a little faster as I'm passing the home side bleachers. She breaks into a full-on sprint and is suddenly on my left, reaching out to grab my arm. I'm startled. We both stop in our tracks and I pull off my headphones. She leans in close and says low and slow, "I was going to leave earlier, but you were still here, and I didn't want to leave you alone." Oh, great. I back up and start to cut her off and tell her that I'm fine, no problem. But then, she says it. "There's a man under the bleachers." At that point, I looked past her across the field, and I see him, sitting under the old wooden bleachers all the way at the back, against the cement wall, kind of blending in. I can make out the grayish hair beard and white tank top. He's just sitting there on something. A bucket, maybe? Watching. I can't stay any later, she said quietly. I have to go. Be careful. She starts to walk away. Thanks, I said. I'll walk out with you, because I have nothing to prove, and I'm going to cut my run short tonight. As we headed out of the gate, keeping an eye on the bleachers, she said something that stuck with me. She looked up at the tall fence around the narrow opening and said, "One way in, one way out." She got in her car, we waved, and I headed down the block to my house as she drove off. I told my mom about it, and we decided he may have just been a homeless man sheltering under there. I would still use the track while I lived there, but only if there were other people. I always looked under the bleachers. I never saw the man again, and I never saw the pink lady again, either. I did see the soccer guys and the older woman and middle-aged man, and lots of other folks, but not her. When I think back on it, it still freaks me out that I ran past him several times that night and did not notice him. And I wouldn't have noticed him if it wasn't for that nice woman. She purposely stayed with me and made me painfully aware of how often I was running in what amounted to a cage with just one way in and one way out. When I was growing up, I lived in rural Alabama, about 30 miles north of a place called Mount Pinson. There really wasn't anything around, just houses. Nothing like a neighborhood in the traditional sense. No stores, nothing. We had one police officer, and he was pretty friendly. He was my best friend's uncle. He would often let us ride around with him because nothing really ever happened. There wasn't a recorded murder or anything beyond someone being drunk and a public nuisance. He didn't even arrest people for that. He would just ferry them home. We had this lady who was all alone. Her husband had died a few years earlier, and she was very lonely. She called this one cop over everything. If some kids were in her yard playing, she would call this cop, saying she was being harassed. She did it because she was lonely and just wanted the company. No one could figure out why she wasn't just nicer to the kids or anyone around the neighborhood. One day there was this new kid kicking around near this little spot that we liked to hang out. It had a nice climbing tree and a rope swing. My friend and I, being interested in this kid, introduced ourselves. He told us stories of living in a big city and how fun it was. We were mesmerized at the time. He taught us some new games to play. We generally had a good time. Unfortunately, his father was a real jerk. It turned out this kid was the mean old lady's grandson, and his father had lost his job and went back to stay with his mom while he recuperated. Since the kid was around, she had warmed up a little to us and would invite us over for snacks and stuff. We obliged, being kids, because we were always down for some free treats. One day, the new kid never showed up to our little spot again. We figured he was busy with his grandma and was just doing other things. A couple of days went by, and my friend told his uncle. His uncle said that he would take a look. He let us tag along because he never imagined anything weird happening. It took about 10 minutes to make it up the windy dirt road to her house. It was quicker just to walk through the field. It took maybe 2 minutes to do. Well, we got up there, and he instructed us to stay by the car, and we obliged. He knocks and knocks. No answer. Their car is there. He knocked again, this time louder. No answer. So he circled around to look in the back. My friend and I decided to try knocking ourselves. It didn't seem like a bad idea at the time. We went up to the door and knocked. Nothing. My friend grabbed the doorknob and turned it, and I asked him what he was doing, and he pushed the door open. We both almost threw up instantly. It was like the smell was a physical force and pushed up against us. It was so vile. You can't even imagine. My friend's uncle made his way around, and when he got to the porch, by the smell, he knew immediately what had happened. He instructed us to go to the car and wait. He went inside to look around, and then came bolting out of the house and threw up on the grass. He had tears in his eyes. Not like he was crying, but because he had just seen something that nobody is supposed to see. He went to his car to contact someone. My friend took off, and I went after him. He was intrigued, and so was I. I felt a little more bolder following him in. We tiptoed inside, and the first room was completely clean. Nothing to see. But then, we walked into the kitchen and saw that the kid was stuffed into the oven, burnt. He had clawed at the glass front of the door and actually scratched it. You could see his hands, his face. It looked like he was still alive, trying to get out. My friend and I just sat there, in complete shock, for what seemed like eternity. It was so surreal. My friend's uncle snapped us back to reality as he came running in the house and grabbed us, screaming, yelling, telling us never to disobey him again. He took us both outside, and we just sat there. The entire evening we didn't say a word to each other or anyone. My friend's uncle dropped me off later. I never saw my friend again. The uncle said that he couldn't handle it and went to live with some family members in the city. My family moved a year later. I've never been near that house again. The uncle ended up drinking himself to death because of depression. A farm that was near that house ended up having some sort of infestation, and they lost all of their crops. This weird circle of death seemed to expand around that house.